Hello and welcome to our podcast.
Yes, welcome. I'm Tara and she's Sunna, and we'll be hosting today's podcast, Contemporary Topics in Science.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, we primarily discuss scientific topics that may have a significant impact to our society.
And today's topic is quite special. We'll be covering new research from the Department of Chemistry at UBC and Michael Smith Laboratories. Our topic today has to do with blood, and we'll cover both blood donations and how scientific advancements will allow conversions of blood types to the universal donor.
For those lacking in time, the important takeaway is summarized beautifully by our guest researcher, Dr. Peter Raffeld.
I mean, I only wanted to scratch this initial point that's really important to donate blood.
So, out of curiosity, Tara, do you know what your blood type is? I mean, it's a pretty important thing to know if you want to donate blood, right?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Well, lucky for you, if this research can get past the lab stages and testing stages, it may no longer be necessary to remember your blood type for donations.
Yes, you're right. Dr. Raffeld's lab looks into the possibility of converting all blood types into O-type blood, which is our universal donor.
Blood contains plasma, which is vital for various functions of the body.
And plasma contains antigens, which are substances that cause a response from your immune system to produce antibodies and fight off toxins. That's how it helps your body fight off diseases.
Determination of blood type also relies on which type of antigen you have.
And the antigens in the plasma are little proteins and sugars that exist in the fluid and bind to the surface of your red blood cells, thereby determining your blood type.
For a better description on how blood type is determined, check out our animation from our video. A link will be shared on our blog post.
And it is vital to get the correct blood type so that the correct antigens can bind to your red blood cells.
This reduces the chance of rejection of the blood and makes sure your body doesn't go into shock and face further problems down the road.
That's why we need O-type blood. In emergency situations, when the injured person's blood is unknown, it will always be safe to hook them up to receiving O-type blood transfusions because their bodies can convert it to the right antibodies they need to produce an immune response.
UBC researchers tried to recruit proteins that are found in the linings of our gut to help convert type A and B blood into its foundational form, which is type O.
Through a complicated process in the lab, they actually found some success. The idea is really simple. The enzymes they used were able to bind to the correct place in the red blood cells and cut only the A or B type sugar to produce the right antigen and convert to O type blood.
We asked Dr. Peter Raffeld, the primary researcher for this article, how practical their lab findings are.
I think they're practical.
Yeah.
We're actually trying, what we're doing, we're working together with the Center for Blood Research and also with the Center, what do they call it, the Canadian Blood Services. And they provide us with actual blood samples. And they're trying to convert now different blood donations from different donors. We want to see if there's a change within different population groups when using those enzymes, if there's a different outcome. So it's practical, we can actually do it. Obviously, to really ramp it up, to do it clinically, we have to do a lot of additional work.
Dr. Raffeld went further to explain that FDA approval is needed along with further research to see if this can be done with people rather than in a lab. Side effects and symptoms need to be determined before they're put to commercial use in hospital settings.
We also asked him how cost-efficient this process could be, and he gave a very candid answer.
We don't know. It's pretty simple. No one really talked about numbers. I mean, we know in comparison to the original enzymes which are in literature already described, it's way, way more efficient, and we use less complicated buffer systems, so we probably save a lot on handling blood, but no one knows a number for that, actually.
So that's some very exciting results.
And that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to check out our video and blog for more information on today's topic.